I'm so glad you're here today. We are in our series, Living Worship. I mean, it's the kind of worship that isn't just coming to church and watching, but it's the kind of worship that gets you living it, that every day of your life, you're walking in a way in which he's manifesting in your life. And today, I want to walk the scriptures and show you something in the word that I think will be applicable to your life. We've been walking, and I got to say this, last week we had an incredible speaker, Rocky Cunningham. Let's give it up for Rocky. And amazing message. I was so proud. I saw myself, and I'm like, man, he held it down just like I would. So I was honored that he came and spoke. Thank you so much, Rocky. You did a fantastic job. I want to start with the idea that we began with, the woman at the well, that if we want to understand what worship truly is about, we need to go back when Jesus spoke about worship and understand what living worship really is. I want you to go back to John chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 4. And I'm going to take you to this hot day Jesus was walking, trying to get to Galilee from Judea. And it's a hot day. He's almost there. He arrives at this place, which is a well, and he sends his disciples away to go get some food for the evening. Jesus had a thing for some chicken wings. So he sent his disciples away, that's Steve Yates' version, and he sent them away to go get some food. And so here he is at John 4, and this is what happens. Let's read together, John 4 and 4. Let's read. Go. Read. Next verse. All right, now we're going to go to the NLT. I think you got NIV. Praise the Lord. NLT is where we want to be. And then the next verse, verse 6, says this. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Jesus was tired. The Bible says he was tempted in all points as we were, yet he was without sin. He was holy man. He was completely like you and I. He knew what it meant to be weary after a long day. And verse 7, it says this. Let's everyone read together. Go. Now you've got to understand the circumstances here. In Jewish society, it was improper for a man to speak to a woman in public. It was literally improper because, first of all, the women were not supposed to be at the well at 12 noon. That was set aside for the men of society to come and water their animals, and then in the evening, the women would come as groups, and they would come together for protection, and so it looked proper, and they would water their animals. But this woman said, I don't care what people think. I'm thirsty. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. I wonder how many women in here are just thirsty for God. Come on. How many are just don't care what anybody, Lord, I'm just thirsty. I it's been a long time. It's hot in my life, and God, I need you to kind of quench my thirst. God, I'm thirsty. And this woman didn't care about what people thought. She had little esteem for protocol. I want you to write this down for living worship. This is point number one. Living worship is unafraid of what other people may think. When you have living worship, you don't care what anybody else will say about you. You're not worried whether you look cute at the stage, whether you raise your hands, whether you fall on your face, whether you weep and cry. You don't care as long as it's real. Hello, somebody. You know, let me help you understand something. I really want to share with you a thought. Too many times when we come to church, we're like soldiers. We're looking to make sure everybody's in line. And you know, we don't want to be the one that stands out. The Lord is looking for somebody to stand out. Every great miracle in a crowd happened when one person stood out. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He stood out in the crowd. The woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through the crowd and touched the end of his garment. She stood out in the crowd. There's always somebody that's willing to break protocol to get a touch from God. I'm here to ask you today, are you willing to break protocol to get something from the Lord? How thirsty are you? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, are you thirsty yet? Turn to the other side and say, do you have the white mouth? Y'all know what that is? Y'all should see it on me too much. I get to preaching, I forget to drink. It looked like I got a chalkboard up here. I just, white lipstick. It's bad. Isn't it? When you're really thirsty for God, you got to be so thirsty. You're like, I don't care. I just need to get to the well. I love what it says in verse 9. Look at it. It says, and the woman was surprised that Jesus asked her for water. She was shocked because, as I said to you before, Jews and Samaritans don't get along at all. They don't like each other, let alone talk to one another. And she was shocked. She was surprised that Jesus was speaking. For Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And she said to Jesus in verse 9, hey, wait a minute. You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? I love that. There are many of us in this room today that have asked this very same question to God. What? Why me? Why did you call me, Jesus? Why did you give me this ability? Why did you call me to pray? Why did you ask me to help this person? Why me? Why did you call me to serve in this position of leadership? Why are you asking me, God? Because when I look at myself, you know, I don't see what you see. But living worship is all about accepting what God sees and not what you see. Too many times we will beat ourselves down and say, I don't have anything to offer, or I'm not ready yet. But God says, let me be the determining factor whether I can get something out of you. Somebody say amen. He knew that woman had what it took to give him something to drink. He was drawing her in. But instead of looking at him, she was looking at herself. Why are you talking to me, Jesus? I'm a Samaritan and you are a Jew. And here's where the disciples, later on, we find that it was so shocking. Even the disciples were shocked that Jesus was talking, because it's a Jewish no-no. It breaks tradition. No male should hold an open conversation with a person of the opposite sex if you are a rabbi. If you are a male rabbi, let me show you something. Look what his disciple says. Go to John 4 and 27. Let's look how shocking it was that Jesus was willing to break protocol to reach somebody. Watch this. Would you read with me verse 27? Go. Uh-huh. You know, when I was coming up in the Lord, I used to go down in the area in Tallahassee. It's called Frenchtown. Anybody from Tallahassee? Anybody? Okay. Anybody know where Frenchtown is? Yeah. They don't have nice French restaurants there. Frenchtown was the worst part of the city. And if you were caught down in Frenchtown, you probably were going to jail. But I would be in Frenchtown all the time. There were prostitutes everywhere. Drug dealers everywhere. And here is old Steve walking the streets at night. And people go, you know what? I saw Steve down there in Frenchtown. About 9 o'clock at night down there talking to some prostitute on the corner. And I would look at him and say, I sure was. Won more prostitutes to Christ because I was willing to go when no one was willing to go. Listen to me. You got to be willing to talk to people who people, your friends, will talk about you if you do. Can I just be real with you for a second? We live in Central Florida. Everybody say Central Florida. And we have a very unique situation here in Central Florida. We've got churches that are all black churches, churches that are all white churches. And we got black people that hate white people. And we got white people that hate black people. We got Hispanics. I don't know who they hate, but they're here. And we got all these people, and we're afraid to talk across the aisle. I made up in my mind when God told me, Steve, I want you to build a church. I said, yeah, I'll build a church. Yeah, I can do that. It'll be easy. He said, no. I need you to build a church that looks like heaven. I said, oh, my God, that's hard. Okay, I can do it in my neighborhood. No, 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 no. You got to go to Central Florida. Wait a minute now. I don't. No, you got to go to Leesburg. Leesburg? What's a Leesburg? No, no, no. You got to go to the place where they had the worst sheriff in all of the United States who hung people on trees. I want you to go there and build a multicultural church. What? No, 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 no. He said, I want you to go to the city where when you arrive, the sheriff department in the city of Fruitland Park is going to be recruiting for the Ku Klux Klan. I want you to go there. I want you to go into the side of town where so many African Americans are waiting to fight somebody that's different than their color of their skin because they think they took something from them when they ain't never take nothing from them in their life. Anger and despondency. And God says, I need life. And so I need you to break tradition. I need you not to worry about what people go. Listen, if you come to church and you go in a store and one of your brothers or sisters comes and hugs you, you better hug them like they your sister, your mama. You better hug them like they're your, say it with me, your mama. No, you got to say it with me, your mama. Let's be talking about my mama. We've got to be in a position like Jesus where the outer appearance of men, all the bigotries of society doesn't matter to us. We don't care about that kind of stuff. We care about that they're a living soul and that they're my brother and my sister. I don't look at the complexion of your skin. I look at the color of his blood. It covered all of us. Somebody say amen. You want to have living worship, you've got to deal with racism straight to its face. You've got to say, you know what? Yeah, my daddy talked about him. Yeah, my mama talked about him. Yeah, my friends talk about it. But I will not be a part of that kind of story. I will defy it. I will speak up. I will walk away. And I will not care what they say. Come on, man. Do you realize that now in this age, we've got integrated couples and they're afraid to go some places together? You know, there's a park that black people can't go to. There's a park that white people can't go to. God forbid, Jesus came to every one of us. It's time out. Somebody say time out. Look at your neighbor and say time out. Look him in the face and say, you on my team. Turn the other side, find somebody that don't look like you and say, you on my team. Come on, somebody. Living worship is breaking human barriers of discrimination and bigotry and racism. Listen to me. I don't care if you, listen, yesterday I went to Steak and Shake and this dude walked in and he had this Confederate flag t-shirt. And I said, man, that looks so good. I mean, it just was pretty. I said, man, if I got me a shirt like that, and then in the back of my mind, boy, you would get shot wearing a shirt like that. But I said, you know what? Why do I feel that way? It's not the flag. Thank you. Let me preach. It's not the flag. It's not the stripes on the flag. It's the stripes on the heart. You know what? It'd be great one day. Everyone wear the shirt of some other race. Like I wear a Confederate flag, and you wear, you know, back to Africa, and we just go down the street together. You know me, I'll be the first one in the front of the line, and I'll have a hood on. I have a big old pointy thing at the top, and I go, boo, I gotcha, gotcha. I'll break the barrier so fast, and then I will run. I got a limp, but I'll be like, oh, hold on, I'm gone, y'all. If we're going to have living worship, it's got to be real in our life. We can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God first to the Jew, the Gentile, and to the rest of us. That means it wasn't talking about the color of our skin. It is that if you're going to have living worship in your life, you've got to be at a point where you say, you know what, I'm going to challenge my circle of influence. I'm going to reach my friends. Listen, if if you are Caucasian and you say, you know what, I love my church, but I'm scared to invite him because I got a black pastor, you got to break that barrier before you can grow another day in your life. Because when you see only that and you don't hear what's coming out of my mouth, you miss it. If you're black, you say, well, people going to say, you know, I'm not going to bring because we sing music that sounds contemporary and sounds white. You got to break that thing. Listen, I paid a big price, but Jesus paid a bigger one. And the Bible says he was unafraid, unashamed to talk to a woman that was socially incorrect. In fact, the Jewish canon law said this: do not multiply any words with a woman. With his wife, they may say much less than his neighbor's wife. You can't even talk to your own wife in public. Hence, the wise men say, at whatsoever time a man talks with a woman, he is the cause of evil to himself and ceases from the words of the law, and the last shall go down to hell. This is what they said if you talk to a woman in public. Another place said this, according to the canon, it says, and particularly it was thought that it was unbecoming that a religious man, a doctor, a scholar, or a disciple of a wise man should not do this. This is one of the six things that are a reproach to a scholar, to talk with a woman in the street. As even said, let him not talk with a woman in the street, though she is his wife or his sister or his daughter. But the Bible says, Jesus said to the woman, give me something to drink. Jesus didn't care. He was about relationship. Active living worship and reverence to God will not be concerned with itself or tradition or what other people think or whatever it does, what other people will say, but it only concerns itself of drawing somebody to God. Many times we see the same thing happen in church. When it comes to living worship and we're praising God, many times when it comes to worship, we're afraid to lift our hands. We say every Sunday, hey, we got a praise pit. You know, when we build our church, I'm going to have me a praise pit. I mean, it's going to be like fiberglass foam on the, so if you hit the floor, you don't hurt nothing. You know what I mean? We're going to have big springboards. You can bounce and jump over here. I mean, it's going to be off the chain. No, I'm not going to do that, but I'm just saying. You got to be willing to come out of your seat and not worry about who's watching you when it comes to praising your God. Can you praise your God in public is the question. Are you ashamed to praise? Come on, lift your hands. If you're not ashamed to praise your God in public, lift your hand. Let me say, amen, amen. Put your hands down. I want to try something here. You know, when we go to a football game and it gets real good, right? What do you do when it gets real good at a football game? What do you do? Oh, come on, hallelujah. All right, how many seen the wave? Anybody done the wave at a football game? Let me start on this side. You ready? Right here? Go! Oh, there we go. How come we can't do that in church? How come we can't get a word so good? We just go, oh, that's good. Go. Woo! That's what I'm talking. That's church. That's the kind of church we're going to grow. That's the kind of church we're going to have. That's the kind of church going to take this city. When we're not ashamed to raise our hands in God. Wow. The Bible says, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. Free from anger and controversy. If we can do it in a football game, surely we can do it in worship. It's not the song that's perfect. It's not the hands that do no wrong. It's a heart free from anger and agitation. You lift up holy hands. And so I want to bring us to the next point in this message of living worship, and this is where we'll close out. This is very important. Point number one, of course, is you don't care about who's watching you, but point number two is this. Living worship is about being totally honest with yourself. We can talk about what needs to be done, but how many times are we honest with ourselves? I believe that there's a story of being honest with oneself that's very important. It's the difference between, who knows the difference between questioning and having a question? There's a difference between questioning and having a question. When you are questioning somebody, you ask the question in a certain way, but you already say, I know what the answer is. And then, but if you're asking a question, you are asking for a sincere response, not assuming you know the answer. There are two different ways. You can be questioning or you can ask a question. And living worship is about asking God the question and not being questioning. God, why didn't you do it? God, are you going to come through for me or what? Is that a question? Or are you questioning? Watch this. I'll give you a story. I love this. Genesis chapter 8. I'll give you the story of someone that was questioning. Go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 9. Genesis 18, verse 9. And it's an amazing story about Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah was getting old. And Sarah was like, listen, you know, I want to have a kid. Don't know if I can have a kid. But I need to have one. And she wanted one. And so Abraham's in front of his tent. And then God shows up with two angels and begins to talk to Abraham. And here's what happened in verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitors asked. And he said, oh, she's inside the tent, Abraham replied. Then one of them said, I want you to know what I'm about to do for you. I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. She's an old woman. Somebody say, oh, she was old. Watch this. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. And Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. And Sarah was long past. They put that word in front of it. Long past. It was over. O-V-A-H. Over. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent, and Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So look at verse 12. Love this. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how can a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my man is so old? I love how she flipped it, didn't she? Oh, how an old, worn-out woman can enjoy such pleasure because Abraham's so old. She put it on Abraham. She laughed at hearing the word from God. She was questioning what he said. How many times do we come to church and hear a great message, but we're still questioning whether it applies to us? Living worship is about taking every word you hear and saying yay and amen. If you said it, God, I believe it. I want you to see how God wants you to be honest with yourself. Look at this next verse, verse 13. I want you to read it out loud. Go. Stop. Remember, the Bible says she laughed silently to herself. God doesn't listen to your words. He looks at your heart. You may not say, hey, praise the Lord, but you ain't with me yet. Pastor, I believe, but you really aren't there yet. God wants you to be honest with yourself, because if you say, I believe, you're not going to deal with the problem that you don't. So listen, don't be honest with me. Because the first part of being a living worship is that you are so honest with yourself that you're not trying to hide yourself from your own sins. Sarah had a problem with believing, and every time she felt like she didn't believe, she tried to handle it herself. That was her issue throughout her whole life, always disbelieving, never taking God at his word. And so she always tried to handle her own life, and everything always went wrong. She said, God said I'm going to have a son, but it's taking too long. So I'm going to let you go in with another woman, Abraham. How many wives would let him do that? Raise your hand if you're in here, please. Oh, hey, some of the wives looked over like, you better not. Watch this. Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? And listen to his words. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But the issue is verse 15. And Sarah was afraid. So, watch this. Sarah was afraid. So, So many people lie out of fear. I want you to deal with this because there are seven abominations to the Lord, and the last one is the worst. It is they that have a lying tongue. The worst thing you could do is to lie to somebody else, and the worst thing above that is to lie to yourself. And Sarah, out of fear, began to lie. Why? Why do we lie? We lie because we're afraid of the consequences. The Lord says, I want you to love me enough to tell me the truth. If you're struggling in an area in your life, don't act like it ain't happening. Talk to me. Don't say to yourself, God, you can't fix it. No, see, what Sarah didn't do, she didn't ask God for help. She just laughed at his help. Look what it says here. He says, so Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. But the Lord just simply said, no, you laughed. I want you to flip it. There's another young lady by the name of Mary. And as we get ready to close here, she was told that she was about to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see her response. It's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. The angel said, you're going to give birth. Now, she knows she's never been with another man. But I want you to see how she asked a question and wasn't questioning. Living worship is about not questioning God, but it's okay to have questions. But don't say, God, I've already made up my mind. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's going to happen. No, stay open. And when she was told she was going to have a baby, listen to what she says. But how can this happen? I am a virgin. She asked a question. Watch what happens, verse 35. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and now is in her sixth month. For the Lord, watch this, for the word of God will never fail. Remember what it said to Sarah? Is there anything too hard for God? She says to Mary, the word of God can never fail, but I want you to see Mary's response, verse 38. Read it with me, please. Verse 38. Read. Did you see that? Before God can birth a miracle in your life, you got to believe. Come on, somebody. You can't tell God he can't do it. Living worship is about telling God there ain't nothing too hard for God. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you to have a victorious life and saying, God, nothing is too hard for you, for your word will never fail. Come on. This is the way you live a life of living worship. But I don't have enough money. You're talking the wrong language. Come on, God, I don't have enough money now, but I believe your word would never fail. Nothing is. Some of you are so beat up, put down, beat down, rolled over, kicked, and you don't know why. Because you confess doubt and not faith. You say, God, that's too good for me. No, it's not enough for you. God's got big things for you. Believe. 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 Stop looking at your fault. Stop looking at your mistakes. Stop looking at how old you are. Stop looking about what you did wrong. God comes to everybody. Believe. Are you thirsty? Are you tired of being thirsty? Are you tired of going without? Are you fed up with being fed up? God, there's nothing too hard for you, for your word will never fail. Can we change the way we talk? Listen, I'm speaking to somebody in here today. I'm talking to somebody because you're wondering, Man, it looks like everybody else getting blessed around you. The Bible says, "He that is a man that is that wavereth is like is unstable in all of his ways." He won't don't even let him think he can get anything from God. You must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you're thirsty, you will get it. Stop living the dehydrated life. The only thing that needs to be dehydrated is prunes. We need to change our language. Can we do that? This is my challenge to you. You have a battle between your flesh and your spirit. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is a mess. Steve Yeats version. You've got to battle that thing. The Bible says, casting down every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You've got to say, hey, I'm afraid right now, but the word says nothing is too hard for God and his word never fails. So I'm going to leave that thought right there. Well, I just lost my job. I don't know if another one's coming. We ain't going to talk about that right now. There's nothing too hard for God and his word never fails. Oh, but God ain't going to do it for me. Wait. He met the woman at the well. He lost all his credibility to capture somebody's heart. No. God will not leave me where I am, but he will give me what I need. His word will never fail and nothing. We got to change the way we talk. Listen, you got to encourage one another. You got a friend that's always saying, woe is me. You got to say, whoa, is you. Yeah, whoa. Change the way you talk. You can't be a kingdom kid if you think like a alley cat alley. You can't do that. You've got to think like a kingdom kid. Living worship is about accepting his word above yours. Living worship is about believing him above your problem. Living worship is about confessing the truth and not the facts. The facts may say, man, my lights are off. But the truth is God will turn them on. Come on, somebody. I can give you testimony after testimony. The facts say I got a tumor. It's growing and it looks bad. But the truth is Jesus is going to heal me and bring me out. Come on. The Bible didn't say I wasn't going to go through nothing. It says in this world you will have trouble. But be of good courage. Because what? I've overcome. Nothing is too hard for God, and his word will never fail. So you got to change the way you think. Living worship is about being honest with yourself that God's word is true. If you believe that, put your hands together and let's give God a great hand clap. Come on.